Marici, Atri, Angira, Pulasya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, Vasishtha, Daksha, and the tenth son, Narada, were thus born. And this is a nice purport, which brings us to a subject matter I think worth deliberating upon. The whole process of the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation is meant to give the conditioned souls a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. Brahma created Rudra to help him in his creative endeavor. But from the very beginning, Rudra began to devour the whole creation, and thus he had to be stopped from such devastating activities. Brahma therefore created another set of good children who were mostly in favor of worldly fruitive activities. He knew very well, however, that without devotional service to the Lord, there is hardly any benefit for the conditioned souls. And therefore, he at last created his worthy son, Narada, who is the supreme spiritual master of all transcendentalists. Without devotional service to the Lord, one cannot make progress in any department of activity, although the path of devotional service is always independent of anything material. Only the transcendental loving service of the Lord can deliver the real goal of life. And thus, the service rendered by Sriman Narada Muni is the highest among all the sons of Brahma. That's the end of the purport. Om Ajnanatam Virandasya Nanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Palitam Tena Tasmai Shri Guruvi Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Tena Bhutale Swayam Rupatam Kadapayam Jalati Swapnam Kitam Hare Krishna. So, the interesting point that I personally feel inclined to mark about this particular purport is that it would do us very well to understand what is the actual purpose of this whole setup, creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the cosmos. This whole material world is yukta and abhyukta for eternity. It means that it is manifest and unmanifest for eternity. And as mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada, there's a reason for this. There's a primary reason, and then there's a secondary reason. Primary reason, the first and foremost important reason, is to actually retrieve the fallen conditioned souls. The secondary reason is to incarcerate them, or to imprison them. Krishna always has our welfare in mind. Actually, that's on the forefront of his mind. What he has to do to accomplish or to achieve the fulfillment of his purposes, that is a secondary consideration. But actually, his purpose is his primary consideration. The purpose is to somehow or other get living entities who've developed an aversion toward him to again take up their natural constitutional position as his eternal loving servants. Actually, his intention is that we become loving servants, God-loving living entities, not God-fearing living entities. So, in this purport, Prabhupada mentions about the transcendental loving service. This is not transcendental fearing service. He's discussing the principle of loving service. Fearing service, you may be knowing, is the nature of Vaidhi Bhakti, whereas loving service is the nature of real bhakti, para bhakti, or in words which sometimes may be misunderstood or tabooed in various ways, Raghunuga bhakti. We should understand that this whole material world, there's only one purpose for this material world. Because inherent within every living entity is the capacity for cultivating the moods of Braja. We are not simply to pander to the lowest common denominator amongst the society of devotees. We should remember that those who have come to this Krishna consciousness movement are considered to be the most intelligent among all the living entities on this planet. Those who have recognized the beauty of Krishna and have appreciated, even to the slightest degree, the goal of attaining the eternal service of Krishna in prema, unalloyed prema, that means braja prema, not any other alloyed type of prema. Just like Kubja also had prema, but her prema was alloyed with desires for self-satisfactions in relation to the absolute. But the prema of the Brajvasis is unalloyed. So we should take into consideration that as every living entity inherently has the capacity to culture the moods of Braja, we, especially as members of a preaching movement, this is a preaching movement, what are we preaching? What are we supposed to be preaching? It is very clearly described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is the purpose of the descent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And I'm going to bang on this point a little bit, just to drive it home. We are supposed to be the most intelligent persons on this planet. Now, admittedly, we're at different levels of progress to the ultimate goal. Some of us are naturally, because we're beginning the process of Krishna consciousness, we're on the Kanishtha platform and may be deemed as Prakrita Bhakta. But we should know that it was not Srila Prabhupada's intention that we should continue to remain on the Prakrita platform for the rest of eternity. Not that we should continue to remain on the Kanishtha Adhikari platform for the rest of our lives. Prabhupada's intention is that we should come to the platform of Parabhakti, Raghunuga Bhakti, in this lifetime. Now, it may be possible for some, and it may not be possible for others who perhaps have not the required accumulation of bhakti-mukhe sukriti from previous lifetimes to have the strength of shraddha and the right kind of shraddha for embarking on the rag marg. But we should understand that the purpose of this movement is non-different from the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent to this material world. Mahaprabhu's descent to this material world is twofold. Its purpose is twofold. Prema rasa niryasa kurite swadana. Swadana means to taste. Prema rasa, not any kind of prema rasa. Braja prema, radha prema. He came to taste the mellows of braja bhakti. And the second, and no less important, as it pertains directly to his descent to this material world, it has no meaning otherwise. Rag mar bhakti loki korite pracharan. Pracharan, what does pracharan mean, please?
Preaching.
Preaching what? Rag mar bhakti loki to the people of this world. Ragmarg Bhakti means spontaneous devotional service following in the footsteps of the Brajvasis. Not following in the footsteps of Kubja. Not following in the footsteps of the queens of Dwarka or any other of the Yadu dynasty. And certainly not following in the footsteps of the Vaikunthavasis. In the hearts of those who have actually imbibed the essence of the teachings of this Sampradaya, the Rupanuga Sampradaya, the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they consider the attainment of Vaikuntha no better than the attainment of hell. What is the use of a Krishna without a flute? What is the use of Krishna without Radha? So our business is to understand this Siddhanta. What is the goal of our life? The goal of our life, there's Sambandha Tattva, Abhideya Tattva, and Prayojan Tattva. Prayojan means necessity. The prime necessity of every one of us, because inherent within every one of us, is the capacity for culturing the mood of Vraja. So the Anandamaya Vyasat aspect of ourself, for full satisfaction, requires to experience and give Krishna an opportunity to also experience reciprocation on the basis of our prema, braja prema, not any prema. So we should, even if we have not the adhikar, I'm not talking to a bunch of 8-year-olds. I'm talking to people who have gone through Prabhupada's books. And if you've not gone through Prabhupada's books, then I suggest that you make a serious attempt to understand the power, the purity of purpose of this Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are not here just to make an international society for social development. This is not the purpose of this Sampradaya. The institution may have various facets which address various problems or various issues, but we should not lose our focus, please. Our focus is the attainment of prema, the attainment of braja prema. That is the prayojan. And the abhideya, which corresponds to the actual attainment of that prayojan, is ragmar bhakti. Not Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti is a program for neophyte devotees to help them to get a foothold, but then you have to make progress. You can't just stagnate thinking that there's no scope for anything higher in this lifetime and waste your human form of life and end up hundreds and thousands of neophyte devotees clamoring at the doorstep of death without having actually gleaned the essence of what this Sampradaya has to offer. Miss the point, either due to our own dull-headedness or due to the spiritual ineptitude of the people that we're associating with. So it is necessary to seek out good association, higher level association, by which we can actually come to grip with the reality of what we're supposed to be all about as members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement.
Are there any questions?
Yes, sir.
This is Ram's agenda, you are saying.
Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastrakvai, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhivai. We have to seek out genuine Sadhu Sangha. By Sadhu Sangha, as Srila Prabhupada had said, faith is created in the association of sadhus, devotees. Devotee means sadhu. Devotee means real devotee. Those who are Vaishnava Vas, who are semblance of Vaishnava, who are chanting Nama Vas, who are chanting defendant name, Aparadha, they can hardly be called sadhu in the real sense. Sadhu means one who is chanting Shuddhanam. Shuddhanam means that within his heart is seated the Supreme Personality of Godhead along with his antaranga shaktis. And every word that comes from his mouth is Shabda Brahma. Nothing which comes from his mouth is anything other than Shabda Brahma. Brahman means spiritual platform. Sagunam samatitaitam Brahma bhuyaya kalpate. How? Mamshriyogya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate. In the association of pure devotees. We have to cultivate pure devotional association. Real cultivation of pure devotional association must be based on utsaha. Utsaha means enthusiasm. You cannot be enthusiastic about something that you're not attracted to. So in the association of pure devotees, you will get a chance to hear about the goal of life. If you don't hear about the goal of life, if you don't hear about Krishna's Vrajalilas, if you don't hear about the sweetness and beauty of Krishna's dealings with his eternal associates in the land of Braja, we're not going to get into discussing pastimes in this assembly. That might be frowned upon. But at least we can discuss the tattva. And then, in your spare time, if you have the courage, go full steam ahead. There's so many beautiful books of the Goswamis which have been left for our benefit. If we don't take advantage of them, then it's not that they're the loser. It's not that Krishna's the loser. We're the loser. It's just like Prabhupada gives the example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gives the example of the difference between licking the outside of the jar of honey and opening the jar of honey and tasting the honey. Srila Prabhupada compares the licking of the outside of the jar of honey to what? To Vaidhi Bhakti. And he compares opening the jar of honey and tasting the actual honey to real Bhakti. Raghunava Bhakti. Raghmayi Bhakti. So, we have to come to the Nishtha platform based on Utsaha. And Utsaha, or enthusiasm, can only come when we see something attractive. When that attraction is there, then automatically lobha, or greed, for the thing manifests. Otherwise, it is a forced affair. That is why you are king. By force, by order of guru, by shastra conjunction, with the guillotine of impending reactions to offenses over our neck to keep us in line, to force us to adhere to the regular principles of devotional service. But real steadiness, real ruchi, real asakti, real bhav can come when we have the lobha. And we cannot get the lobha because that is the actual fundamental basis of one's adhikar. for pursuing the path of Raag Bhajan. At least we should understand this is our goal. And know that even if we're on the platform of executing the orders of Guru and Shastric injunctions under the Vaidic process, that's not the all in all. We have to go forward. Sooner or later. The sooner the better. The better for you. The better for me. So we have to go forward on the basis of attraction. Raag means attraction. That is the meaning of raag. Everyone has raag. There isn't anyone in this world, even from the smallest microbe to Lord Brahma, everyone has raag. But it's a question of the quality of the raag. What kind of raag? Attraction is there. Everyone has attraction. But someone is attracted to the mundane. And someone is attracted to transcendence. So in order to rectify our tendency to be attracted toward mundane affairs of basically eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in this material world, there's necessity to enforce the Krishna sense objects, to force us to take shelter of Krishna's sense objects. So therefore, come to Mangalarti, attend the Bhagavatam class, chant 16 rounds, etc., etc. Must do. If you don't, you're Guru Avagi. You disobey the order of the spiritual master, and to hell with you. What do we care? If you don't want to follow, if you don't want to get prema. But we should understand that the system of Vaidhi Bhakti, which has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada and by the Acharyas down from Rupa Goswami, that system of Vaidhi Bhakti is not ordinary Vaidhi Bhakti. It is Vaidhi Bhakti which is directed toward the elements of Braja. This Srimad Bhagavatam is a Rasa Shastra. It is meant to help us to appreciate the sweetness and beauty and superlative nature of the elements of Braja, the elements of Braja Bhakti. The 10th canto is considered to be the smiling face of Krishna, please. It's not the smiling face of Narayan, it's the smiling face of Krishna. And nestled in the 10th canto, Rasa Panchadhyaya, the five chapters dealing with Krishna's Rasa Leela, the most powerful medicine to help the living entity overcome this ridrog, the disease in the heart called lust, by hearing the attractive leelas of Krishna with the gopis. Then by hearing these attractive pastimes of Krishna in the land of Braja, especially by hearing it while residing within this land of Braja. This Braja Bhumi has great power to kindle the dormant prema within the heart. Don't think that these things are impossible. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. It is certainly possible, but we have to avail ourselves, and when we take the risk of availing ourselves to the sweetness of the Braj Leelas by reading, as Srila Prabhupada says in Krishna book, simply by reading Krishna book, but Srila Prabhupada, he suggests to us that at least if we're even beginning to experience a little glimmer of Vipulamba within our heart, if we're beginning to experience what our acharyas have done everything within their power to help us come to the point of experiencing this Vipralamba Bhava. If we're beginning to experience Vipralamba, a little separation, then when, oh when will that day be mine? Now I'm immersed in the quagmire of my various anarthas. Anartha Nivritti will go on all the way up to the point of Vastu City, please. It's not like we have to do Anartha Nivritti to the nth degree before we can even entertain the idea of availing ourselves to the very literatures that Srila Prabhupada has told is essential for cultivating Braja Vas. We're living in Vrindavan, please. And living in Vrindavan means, according to Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Charitamrita, to take shelter of the six Goswamis. How? By reading the literatures left by the six Goswamis, like...
Vidagdhamadava, Lalitamadava.
Bhaktivrasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdhamadava, Lalitamadava, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and Prabhupada says, he ends the sentence by saying, and so many others. Who wants to go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime? Do you want to go back home, back to Godhead? Back home, back to Godhead doesn't mean the any damn place back home, back to Godhead. Back home, back to Godhead means back home to Vrata. Where Krishna and Radharani are engaged in intimate, loving pastimes with their devotees. Who gives a damn for Vaikuntha? If you want that, you can have it. But that's not the goal of the Gaudiya Sampradaya's preaching. One more question, please.
This is important question about Namatatva.
Nam, Rup, Guna, and Leela. Srila Prabhupada has what to speak of others, but our Srila Prabhupada, sometimes we take him cheaply and think that he's giving some elementary course. But he himself has told that the time should come when simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, automatically one will think of Krishna's beautiful bodily features, how sweet is his beautiful face with beautiful lotus eyes and sweet honeymoon beam smiling. Kissy mouth for the material purpose. Not everyone will have that inclination, but there are those. Prabhupada said that mostly those coming in our Rupanupa Sampradaya will be inclined toward the material purpose. Others may be inclined toward the Sakya Bhava or the Vatsalya Bhava even. But if we cannot think, if by our chanting we cannot immediately see within our heart of hearts the beautiful form of Shamsundara, Achintya Guna Sarupam, if we don't see within our heart, because the Premanjana is not sufficient, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a simple solution. The solution is that you chant your japa in front of the deity or in front of a picture and drink in the beauty of his face or the beauty of their faces while you're chanting japa. And my advice, as far as utsava is concerned, enthusiasm, when there's something attractive, something which grabs your heart and makes you want to love him, you see the most beautiful picture, the one you like the most. You look anywhere and everywhere and you find that picture of Krishna or Radha Krishna or Krishna Balaram as you like. You see that picture, and by seeing the picture that grabs your heart, then naturally your heart will go to him. And when your heart goes to him, then you will begin to naturally think about his qualities, while you're chanting Hare Krishna. Nam, Rup, Guna, and then Leela. There's two levels of Leela Smaranam. Alternately, you know, Smartavya Satatam Krishna, Radha Krishna. The whole idea is to always remember Krishna. Chanting Nam is like a key which opens the door of remembrance of Krishna's Rupa, Guna, and Leela. But as far as Leela Smarana is concerned, Leela Smarana begins from hearing and chanting about the Leelas which have been revealed to us by our Goswami Acharyas. If you will hear, as Prabhupada recommended, I began to make this point in Krishna book. He recommended that for those who are feeling separation from Krishna, separation is of four kinds. Separation doesn't just mean that Krishna's gone to Mathura and now we're experiencing pravas. Practically speaking, the sadhaka cannot experience that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati recommends that for the sadhaka, not that we experience prema vaititya, not that we experience mam, but that we experience, and it's easy for us to experience, purvarag. Purvarag means the desperation to meet Krishna at long last, when somehow or other, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get over all the hurdles, and Krishna sees and takes pity upon our struggling self and elevates us, pulls us up to His position. Special causes mercy. When He sees that there's sufficient crying for it. If we're not crying for Krishna's mercy, then we haven't understood what is our ultimate sadhana. So we should be cultivating this purvarag. By cultivating purvarag, these feelings of separation, then if we will take Srila Prabhupada's suggestion and read Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita, Mahakavya, and other such literatures, and actually see how nice is this Krishna that we're worshipping. We're worshipping, 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 but do we know who we're worshipping? Have we understood? To what extent have we understood? So we have to avail ourselves, we have to hear the pastimes of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in two processes, both directly and indirectly, with reference to Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein it is stated that one should, in all circumstances, in all time, in all place, one should search out the absolute truth. A serious student, are you serious or not? And what the hell are we doing? Are we serious? Then he says, a serious student should search out the absolute truth both directly and indirectly. And according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that directly means the positive process by which Raja Prema can be evolved within the heart. And then there's the process of negation, is indirect, means anarthanavritti. So both directly by Krishnanushilanam, by doing those activities which are pleasing to Krishna, directly hearing about Krishna's pastimes, and then indirectly, anyavilasita sunyam, etc., anarthanavritti. How? By hearing the naimittika leelas. So as long as artha pravritti has not solidly manifest in our life, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that we should hear both. Not that we should only hear about Krishna's naimittika leelas, his pastimes of killing the demons, etc., but we should also hear about his nitya leelas, side by side. Then, as artha pravritti becomes prominent, anartha pravritti becomes less important. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati makes the point that we should not make the mistake of thinking that anartha pravritti is our prayojana. One who thinks like this, Bhaktisiddhanta says, his every endeavor may very easily end in nirvisheshvad. Because we don't actually develop the positive appreciation of the goal. So, by reading these books, such as Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita, Mahakavya, and other such beautiful books of the Goswamis, and they've been translated into English for those who require, and you may find it in Hindi as well, somewhere. But if you read these books, hear about the pastimes of Krishna, and if we, in our little subgroups of inspired devotional association, if we will chant about these beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna, then, as a result, it will be very easy for us to remember. Remembrance, smaranam, lila smaranam comes from lila shravanam kirtanam. Then on a higher level, from a very purified platform, we may also, within our own heart, begin to see something of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna by their grace. But every journey starts with this first step, please. So we can go on with our shnik shnik ram rams and do the regimented Vaidhi Bhakti program. That is required. Without doing that, you can't expect to go to the Parabhakti platform. But it doesn't end there. It's not that our regimentation, going through the systematic process, shastric process, is the all in all. We have to go forward to the Madhyam Adhikar. From the Madhyam Adhikari platform, one can actually begin to earnestly pursue the path of Rag Bhajan by following in the footsteps of the Brajdasas. And then the Anartha Vritti goes on. As a side effect of our one-pointed ekantika determination, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, Boga Aishwarya Prasaktan. Boga means this material world. Aishwarya means all the way up to Vaikuntha Bhakti, Aishwarya Mayi Bhakti, Aishwarya Gyan Mayi Bhakti, which produces this Aishwarya Gyan Mahima Prema. We want Gyan Shunya Prema, not Gyan Shunya. We want Unalloyed Prema, Raja Prema. So anyway, it's getting late and I have this... Are there any more points of discussion anyone would like to take up? Is that okay? Yes? You would like to?
So for the neophytes, you said you have to have greed, right?
Gradually it will come.
So initially how will they develop? There's only greed, there's no ruchi, how they...
Nothing happens without doing bhajan, please. Bhajan, there are 9 processes of bhajan in the Vaidhi platform. Vaidhi platform means under rules and regulations, but there's a difference between the ruchi which is produced, or the asakti, or the bhav, or the prem which is produced by exclusively pursuing the path of Vaidhi bhajan. And the ruchi, asakti, bhav, and prem which is produced by pursuing the path of rag. Our acharyas, they advocate the superlative nature of rag bhajan, not so much because it's on a high, high platform. What's high, high about it is the power of attraction which is generated in the association with the elements of raja. So bhajan means beginning with hearing. As we were making the point, hearing about the object of attraction, chanting about the object of attraction. If you're not attracted, then, you know, go on with your snick snick ram rams. And eventually, if you stick it out somehow or other by someone's merciful browbeating, then maybe sometime in the course of your going through Srila Prabhupada's books, you'll begin to understand what it is that you have in your hand. So ruchi comes more rapidly when there's lobha. So by associating with the, seriously associating means with an open mind, there's two important things which are required. Of course, everything's depending on one's adhikara. But if you have a powerful spiritual master or a powerful acharya as Srila Prabhupada, but if the disciple's not receptive, then you cannot expect to be impregnated with bhakti shakti. Furthermore, as far as anartha nivritti is concerned, if you're trying to ignite a fire, it is not that you can expect to ignite the fire by pouring water on the wood. So as mentioned here, Lord Shiva was advised to do penance. Penance basically, in this sense, means don't do nonsense. You know, we're trying to create something wonderful here, and here we are infatuated by our various little petty material attachments, and we continue to douse the fire with the water of sense gratificatory attachments. But let's be real. If you want prema bhakti, then you have to focus on that bhajan which is actually ordained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we were making the point, Mahaprabhu came to relish the sweetness of Braja Prema, and he came to broadcast Ragmarg Bhakti to the people of this world. He came for these two reasons. So we should not think that there's any difference between his intention to broadcast Ragmarg Bhakti to this world and his propagation of non-Sankirtan through the Sankirtan movement. There's no difference between non-Sankirtan and Raganuga Bhakti. If you have the lobha for the attainment of the Brajavilas, the Tarak Brahma Kirtan mantra for this age of Kali, which was primarily propagated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by chanting, what is the result according to Dhyanchandra in his Gorgovinda Archan Smaran Padati? He says, what is the fruit of chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? It is the attainment of the realm of Braja. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that you cannot attain the realm of Braja by only doing Vaidhi Bhakti. If you exclusively adhere to the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, you will never attain the realm of Braja. You will attain Vaikuntha. But if you're anxious to attain the Leelas of Radha and Krishna, and if you understand that the fruit of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the attainment of the realm of Braja, then it only stands to reason that you cannot attain the realm of Braja without doing Raganuga Bhakti, so this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra must also be Raganuga Bhakti, because the fruit is to attain the realm of Braja. If it's done with greed. If you're on the Vaidhi platform, then you may not attain the realm of Braja because you're really not understanding the essence of what the Maha Mantra is all about. Radha Krishna.